Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Beis. We're holding at the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Beis, and we were right at the two dots. Om Rav Kana, Dorash Rav Nosson Bar Minyomi Mishmeda Rav Tanchum, that a Ner Chanukah that was put above 20 Amos is possible. Just like a Sukkah and a Movi. Now, you remember that we couldn't bring a Raya that it's necessary to keep it within 10 Tfachim, from the story of the Chenvani, because we don't have a clear raya from there, even though that is the mitzvah. But it certainly would be possible l'malam yesrimama. Why? Because the same way that a sukkah is possible, and a tikkun of a movoy is possible, if you leave the korah higher than that, the reason that it's possible is because since a person is a mechuyav of ladad, that arkibes sukkot or shaftis b'nei Yisrael, l'malam yesrimama, the ayin is not sholet, it doesn't see it, unless you specifically call attention to it. So because of that, we will not be yotze, because one of the dinim of Chanukah, of course, is the presuming nisa of the ability for people to see it, to focus on it. The same thing is true of a movoy. The core of the movoy has to be a actual heker. And therefore, if there's a malam yasimama, it's not a heker. Relating to this as well, the Pashtas, is when the brothers threw Yosef into a boar that had in it shkat nechashim va'akravim. But says if there are borei kein bo mayim, so mimash b'shenemar borei kein bo mayim, in yodea shen bo mayim, elamata melomar ein bo mayim, mayim in bo avon nechashim va'akravim yesh bo. So apparently, up to a certain distance, you're shaila at the ayin. Beyond that, you're not, because otherwise, to say that they threw him in that he should be killed by nechashim v'akravim doesn't make any sense. If the whole point was that they were attempting to avoid, specifically avoid, that he should be killed, and waiting to see how things would develop, or in the end, to decide to sell him. Omar Rabba, ner Chanukah mitzvah la'anicha b'tefach ha'smucha lepetach. Once we're talking about the idea of it's being nikkur, so then it's also important that it be nikkur, that it's a ner Chanukah. And therefore, it should be within a tefach of the doorway. Because if it isn't a tefach in the doorway, it isn't clear that the balabait was the one that put it there for a ner Chanukah. It might just be a street light of some kind. V'hecha manach lay, on which side? Rav Acha b'nei d'Rav Amar miyamin, v'shmol midifti Amar mismol. So the question is, normally, of course, yamin is more chashuv. Why do we put the ner Chanukahs, Tainas or Shmomi Difte, that it should be at the left, because in order to be mukefet b'mitzvot, it's an inyan that as you're coming into your petach, on the right hand side there is a mezuzah, and on the left hand side you'll have your ner Chanukah. You're not allowed to count money, but using the light of Ner Chanukah. What the heck could be wrong with you? I understand. There's no kedusha in a lamp, is there? Matke for Rav Yosef. You could ask the same question about blood. Does blood have kedusha when you shecht it stam for hedyot? And yet the halacha is that the Torah is b'chayev as one of the tayag mitzvahs. Is blood that was shechted for b'chayev of? You're mechuyev to do kisui dam, correct? And it says specifically, v'shafach v'chisa, putting together the kisui together with the shafach, which means b'mash shafach yichase. How do you normally do shechita? You do shechita with your hand. This tells me I should use my hand for kisui adam, not kick the dirt over it with your foot. Why? Apparently, shaloyu mitzvot b'zuyot alav. To kick the dirt with your foot, when the dirt gives you a mitzvah to be machaseh, is a bizoyan to the mitzvah. And that is exactly the issue over here. When I'm telling you that there's a problem of using the Or Chanukah, am I telling you it's Kodesh? Am I telling you it's Me'ilah? I'm not telling you it's Kodesh. I'm telling you that using it for something that is so secular and simple, to take something that was set aside by you with the thought of it's being a mitzvah, is a bizoyan. Now, it's simply a new halacha of Bizoy Mitzvah, which this is the makor of, the halacha of Kisui Hadam. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, shehakol miyed bedvaro. In a related question, would you be allowed to use the decorations of your sukkah during the 7 days of Sukkot, which includes Chol HaMoed? Now remember that when it comes to the question of Yontov itself, there would be a din of muktzah. Muktzah is a separate issue. That's something that I don't have in mind to utilize, but that would not impact Chol HaMoed. So the question over here is there a problem of using it during Chol HaMoed as well? If you're not allowed to use your Ner Chanukah for counting your money, then you should not be allowed to take down your Noi Sukkah to use it for some other decoration, for a wedding or something. You can't do that. Once that's true, then Enoch Inami, as Tosis points out, once it's true, then we have a concept of huktzah l'mitzvah seikol shiva. But if it wouldn't be true, we certainly would not create a new din of muktzah for Chol HaMoed. So Rav Yosef was utterly flabbergasted by this conversation. This is absurd, says Rav Yosef. Morei d'Avraham, oh God in heaven, tovi tanya b'lo tanya? I understand. Somebody has a question about what's the din, and you're bringing him an answer from something that is not a braita, where the actual din in the braita concerned the very question that he asked. Sukkah, it says beferish in a braita. And Chanukah doesn't say anywhere in a braita, it was just the opinion, Hare Omru Asur La'artzot, and that opinion was an opinion of Amoraim. This is absurd. Therefore, here's the way to look at it. The Tanya. You made your sukkah properly, and then you decorated it. So idra bikiramim ubesadinim amitzuyarim. So then you had these curtains, and you had beautiful sheets. V'tola bayagozim afarsekim shkedim rimonim parchichle anavim atarot shibalim yinot shmanim v'slotot. You'd be hanging all kinds of beautiful fruits of, you know, all types of liquids that you put into a container to show, and anything at all that is a decoration, it's osulis topic, ma'am. You can't use it until after the last day of Sukkot, ad mitzor yom tov acharon shel chag. If, however, you made a tznai, now the tznai is not that I should have the right to use it. That tznai does not help. The tznai is any bodel mehem kol bein hashmashot, that I am not going to leave it on my sukkah. And I have in mind that I can take it down through the entire period of Ben Hashmashos, which means during that period it hadn't been set aside for the sukkah, in which case that's what defines it, because it's always the beginning that defines. That's tonight you can make. Ela Omer Rav Yosef, said Rav Yosef, you guys have totally the wrong approach. The basis of everything is the pasuk by Dan, of the fact that the Torah said, v'shofach v'chisa. That's the basis of the concept of bizoyon shal mitzvah, of how it is that we have to deal with something that's an act of a mitzvah. Then out of that, the Braita pointed out that therefore you have to be careful about your sukkah decorations, even during Chol HaMoed, not just bitam, the normal huktzah l'mitzvah, say. And because of that, in extension, now we have also this halacha by Chanukah. Itma. Now we have another question. Once we're talking about the idea of kovod of the mitzvah, and remember where all of this started, Rabbi Isai. This is an extremely important sugya over here, because as the Rambam explains, we're talking about hadlokas ner Shabbos as part of the hachana for Shabbos, and that hadloka comes from the mitzvah v'chibatei. So v'karosu l'Shabbos einig v'chibatei. That means that the whole concept of the kovod that we're doing with a ner is the whole metzias of the ner shel Shabbos. And therefore, as an extension of that, when we can do kovod to a mitzvah with a ner, it may have other very important implications, which, interestingly enough, the ner shel Shabbos would not have. Because remember, the ner shel Shabbos, the kovod of Shabbos is gufa, to give us a greater vikarata l'Shabbos einik. As I pointed out, the Rambam brings both of these as sibais. Because of that, when it comes to the ner of Shabbos, we do not have the following question. because the Iker Hadlok of the Ner Shel Shabbos, although it's a kovet, is to provide the Tainug of Shabbos, which means it's for our usage. The only problem is that you don't want to use it because Shemayata, which we started with the Chatzilah, remember back in the first parak, and that was one of our first concerns. But when it comes to a Ner Shel Mitzvah, there's another issue, and that is Itma. Rav Amar Ein Mabekimi Ner Lener, V'Shmuel Omer Matlikim. You're not allowed to light one Hanukkah candle from another. Where Shmuel says you can. Rav says Ein Matirin Tzitzit Mi Beged LeBeged. You can't take out tzitzit from one beged and put it into another beged. V'Shmuel Omer, you can. Matirin Mi Beged LeBeged. Another thing that Rav says is that Ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'Grira, v'Shmuel Omer halacha k'Rabbi Shimon b'Grira. Now these things don't seem to have anything to do with each other. However, the first two you can obviously to see are related. This last one, the reason that we put it over here, is not simply because the issue of Shabbos ties this together, but because it's these three particular halachas that are a non-standard way of paskening, and that is everything throughout Shas, we always pasken like Rav against Shmuel when it's dealing with issues of Isser as opposed to issues of Momon. And that's why, remember, Shmuel is called Melech Elasar. He's called King Elasar. Why is he called King Elasar? Because El Asar, not in Isser. He's not the king when it comes to Isser, because there we pasken like Rav. In these three specific cases, we paskin like Shmuel against Rav, and therefore we mention these three cases together. The third case is an extremely important halacha, very basic for the dinim of Shabbos, and that is the machlokas of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda about the question of a dover she'eno mitkaven, a malacha that will cause the act of the malacha to be done where your intent is something else entirely. Is that considered to be Melechet Machshevet or not? According to Rabbi Shimon, it is not. So for instance, let's take the case that we're talking about over here. A guy wants to drag his bed across the floor to put it into another corner of the room. He wants to drag his table across the floor for Shabbos because he needs to expand the table for guests, whatever the point is. In dragging the table, it might sometimes happen that he actually makes a furrow, thank you. Yes, I'm getting my English here. So he may actually create a furrow in the floor. Remember, the floors were made out of dirt, essentially. And it could be that he'll hit a place where things aren't packed very well. And digging like that could be an Isser of Choresh or an Isser of Boneh, we're going to see later on in the Gemara. And therefore, you might think, and indeed, Reb Yehuda paskens, you can't do it, because if you end up making that furrow, you're going to be over on a D'oraisa, you'll be doing a malacha. Rabbi Shimon says, if it's not something that has to happen, and it isn't your intent, then what's the problem? That's not Melechus Machshavas. And therefore, when Rav says, Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon, it would mean that you would not be allowed to drag your bed across the floor. And in fact, we don't paskin like that. We paskin that it is mutter to drag your bed across the floor. Now, once again, remember that this does not include the idea of psik resha. Psik resha refers to the case where you want to cut the head off of a rooster to use it as a puppet for your kids. And you say, I'm doing this on Shabbos only because I need a puppet, not because I want to kill the rooster, and therefore I'm not chayev for killing the rooster. It often happens that when you cut off the head of a rooster, it dies, and that is one of the malachas on Shabbos, netilat neshama, and it happens so often that we consider it to be the equivalent of your thought. So in other words, the act is essentially, whatever you're saying your intent is, it includes the fact of the rooster's death. There Rabbi Shimon is made. Okay, and indeed, says Abaye, that everything that Rabba did, my Rebbe did, he did like Rav in all Isurin, except for these three cases where he did like Shmuel. Namely, Madlikim in Ner L'Ner on Hanukkah, You could take your tzitzis out of one beged and put it into another beged when it comes to tzitzit. And aloha k'Rabbi Shimon b'Greira. And what was that? The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, a person is allowed to drag his mita, his kise, his safsal, as long as his kavana was not to make a, there's got to be a better word than furrow inside of a house. Come on, what would you call it? To make like a scratch in the floor. Shoot. Okay, a charitz. I mean, a charitz is not normally a furrow. Come on, somebody, give me a thesaurus.
A groove?
A groove, okay, it's getting closer.
What's wrong with a scratch in the floor?
Okay, but a scratch off it doesn't have any depth, so I don't.
What's wrong with a scratch?
Okay, in any event, so we have. Please, once again, mute. Thanks. Okay, so we have. Therefore, these three halachas. Halacha lemaisa, you are allowed to light from one Hanukkah candle to another, but we don't. And but as we're going to see, there's a big difference whether you light directly from one Hanukkah light to another, or whether you light something else, which is chulin, so to speak, to light the other one. We are allowed to be matir tzitzis from one beged to another, but in all of these cases, take into consideration the following. Suppose you want to take your tzitzit out of your talit in order to put it into your kid's talit katan. Well, over there, you're putting it into a talit that's not a real chiyav d'oraita, and you're taking it out of a talit that is a chiyav d'oraita. That is considered to be lowering it from its usage. The same thing might be true, as some of the achronim point out, that the way that we do the Hanukkah lighting, we add different neirot every night, because we do, everybody does kemahadrim and a mahadrim. But that would mean that the main mitzvah is the one candle, and then when you light to another one, you're lighting to something that isn't the main mitzvah. So maybe we ought to be machmir on that. Things to take into consideration. And anyway, as I said, the minhag is not to light at all from one to the other. This, by the way, is only during the time that the Hanukkah candles are still burning for the mitzvah. Once they've burned beyond that time, you are allowed to, and you're allowed to be nene from them as well. Anyway, Yosef Umar Rabbanu Kamele Ravada Barava V'Yosef Ikomar. So somebody was sitting in the Beis HaMedrash. Ravada Barava was there. And whoever this someone was, he explained Rav's reasoning. Why does Rav say that you're not allowed to light from one to the other and you're not allowed to take the tzitziot out? It's because it's a bizayon to the mitzvah. So Ravada Barava got up and said, pay no attention to that guy. It's totally wrong. Lo tzitzior leh. Time of the Rav, Mishum Dako Makrish Mitzvah. Rav's problem is that you make the mitzvah duller at that point. Because as you're drawing from one to the other, it dims a little bit because you're taking out a little bit of also of the fuel from one to the other. And because of that, it's not a bizoyan to the mitzvah, it's an actual damaging the mitzvah. What would be the difference practically between these two shitot? The difference would be if you light directly from one lamp to the next and you don't use a match, let's say. Yaakov, please mute yourself. And you don't use a match so that in lighting the match, you would indeed be in a matzah where you would be going ahead and using a mitzvah, something that isn't a mitzvah. That's a bisoy. Marsha Enkin, when it's talking about a kushe, then you're still dimming it, and this would make a tremendous difference. So because of that, we need to know what the time is. So mandi amri mishum bisoy mitzvah. I mean, if the question is, I'm doing something inappropriate with a mitzvah, what's inappropriate of lighting another Hanukkah candle directly, which itself is exactly the same mitzvah, how could you look at that as a bizoyan? Masha inken, if it's bishum akushi mitzvah, so then you wouldn't even be able to light directly from one Hanukkah candle to the other because of the fact that you would be going a little bit of dimming of the Hanukkah light at that point. Masi Ravavya. The question is like this. If you have ma'aser sheni, you're not allowed to use that maaser sheni. Some have the girsa, a coin that was already, you already had been mechalal the maaser sheni, and the coin. Well, there's a slight difference in the Gemaras, depending on the girsa. The gra, and also clearly from many rishonim, did not have the word sela shel maaser sheni, just plain maaser sheni. So maaser sheni, you cannot use the maaser sheni. Let's say you know that you have a pound of maaser sheni. So then you cannot go and weigh another coin of chulin to make sure that that's a good coin. And even if the purpose is to use that coin that you're weighing in order to be mechalal other maaser sheni, in which case you would say, okay, so then it's basically letzorech the mitzvah maaser sheni, right? You still can't do that. So now, if you're going to tell me that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about ner lener is talking about the case of kinsa, and that means that it's if I'm using something else in between, right? So if I even Shmuel would be made, I can't do that. So then this is not a problem, because basically this is not going to be in any way problematic for him, because that's essentially what I'm doing over here. Because what I'm doing right now is I'm taking something that is chulin. And so there would be no problem. So in that case, there's no tiyufta. But suppose the halacha would be that Shmuel would not aser, even a kinsa. And Shmuel would say, even using a match to light another one would be mutter. So then isn't this a direct tiyufta? Because over here, the Brisa says, you can't, even though I need this other coin in order to be mechalal other maaser sheni. So if you're telling me that's not a problem for Shmuel, how in the world is he going to explain this? So obviously, the correct way to explain the machlokas Rav and Shmuel is that we are not talking about a case where Shmuel would hold that you can even use a kinsa, in which case the problem would be directly the question of one to the other. My rabbi, well, there's not a problem. Because I could say that the reason it says over here you can't do it has nothing to do with the question of whether it is I'm being mafaz of the mitzvah or anything like that. It's because Shema lo yichaven mishkalotav v'kamafik lo lechulin. If it turns out that he's not going to end up using this particular coin, so then in the end, he did this whole thing for no reason at all. It doesn't literally mean he will make it chulin. It is chulin. It means he'll allow it to remain in the state that it was in chulin. He was never ended up using his maaser sheni for purposes of maaser sheni because it turned out that he didn't want to use that coin. So therefore, it has nothing to do with the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. Okay, ask Rav Sheshes. I think that I could show you that neither of the approaches is right to the machlokas Rav and Shmuel, because it says in the Braisa like this, and here we're back at the Beis HaMikdash again, and we're talking about the lighting of the menorah again, which reflects on the entire original sugya, remember, of Laha'alot Ner Tamid, that it has to be able to be Eila Mi'atzma. It's really confusing, Gavi, to see you upside down. I mean, any way that you are is fine, but it would probably be better if you stood right side up. That's great, okay? Because here on Earth, we're used to gravity going in that direction. Thank you. Very good. All right, so here's the thing. It says that you're supposed to light the menorah, mechutz l'parochas ha'edus. Now, explain to me what that means. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need your light? All of the years that they went in the Midbar, who was the one that was lighting the way? It was the Anan and the Amud HaEsh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was lighting the way all the time. This is, I think, the point, because Tosfos is highly bothered by the fact that all of a sudden we're talking about the 40 years in the Midbar. I mean, doesn't God light the way all the time? What about the sun? And what about everything else that comes from him? All of that energy is his. Obviously, the point, I mean, Tosis wants to suggest maybe it means does he, that is to say, does the Kohen Gadol need the or of the menorah? Doesn't refer to Hashem. After all, wasn't it B'schus Aaron HaKohen that for 40 years the Amud HaEsh was lighting everything up? Okay, but he shows from other Midrashim that that pshat doesn't seem to work too well. So therefore, the simple way of understanding it is, look, the givens in nature, those are givens, I understand. I'm not calling those things God's given light, okay? That's the sun. But Lemaisa, when there was no sun and we needed light, who was the one that lit the way for us? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if there's no sun inside of the Beis HaMikdash and you need the light, you really think that you're lighting it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to see properly? So what's the point? If all these 40 years he was the one that was giving the light to the Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eder Sulabai Olam, the whole point of the Chanukah, of the Menorah, is to show that the Shekhinah is Shaira B'Yisrael. This is a sign that the Shekhinah is there. And what is that? How does the menorah show that the Shekhinah is there? Says Rav, this is a reference to the Ner Ma'aravi. So specifically, the Ner Ma'aravi, which was called, that was the Ner Tamid, the way that we talk about it. The Ner Ma'aravi, there's a machlokas in Menachas. What do we mean by Ner Ma'aravi? It's either the Ner Ma'aravi was the second most candle from the Knisa into the Heichal, which means that it's the seventh most distant from Ma'arav, and it's strange that we would call it the Ner Ma'aravi. The reason we call it the Ner, that's according to the Mandiyama, who holds that the menorah candles went along the wall, and therefore their direction was east-west instead of north-south. If that's the pshat, then Rashi says that the reason we would do it that way is because since it's supposed to be specifically the Ner, which is Lifnei Hashem, which is the Ner Ma'aravi, it can't be the first one, right? Because I mean that's obviously not the one that's most Lifnei Hashem, and it's not the one that's Lifnei Hashem at all. If anything is closer to the door, that's the one that's closer to the door. So therefore, we now have an option of saying Lifnei Hashem could be anything that's behind that one as you get closer to the Heichal. But since you're Ein Ma'avirin al HaMitzvot, so we view the one that is right after that as the one that you should be noyeg with the Kedusha of the Ner Ma'aravi. Now that Ner Ma'aravi, Noten Ba'Shemen Kibidat Chavroteha, it's got the same amount of oil that the other candles have and the lamps have. So he would light that from that or he would light all of the other candles, lamps, it's very makban on this. He would light all the other lamps. And because of that, in the morning, he would be mitaken the others. And then in the evening, he would let this one continue to burn. And it continued to burn as long as the Mila, the Madrake of Klal Yisrael, was high. This was all the days that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. So then he would find it burning. It would continue to burn just like the Ner Chanukah. Even though it did not have sufficient fuel, we don't need fuel. So basically, it would continue to burn until the evening. And then when it came time to be madlik in the evening, he would be madlik from that to all the others. But if he was madlik from that to all the others, machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what that means exactly, Rashi says he would first be mativ, and how could he be mativ if it was still burning? He would take out the burning lamp, hold it in his hand, be mativ the other one, and then use the light to light that one. Tosfos says that's crazy. If he already took it off, so then there would obviously no longer be considered to be the light of the menorah. And if that's the case, why would there be an issur in using it to light? The whole point of the Gemara is that he's using a light of the menorah that is currently a light of the menorah, and he's using it to light the one next one down, which means that over there, in the Beis HaMikdash, you were Matlik Miner Laner. So what in the world are we talking about over here? If you ain't Matlik Miner Laner, well, we're going to make it more calmer than the Ner in the Beis HaMikdash. So you see from over here, there's no other way to do it because Ocher Kivin de Kaviyei Neres, there's no way that you could be Matlik Miner Laner without using a match because you can't pick up the lamp and move it off of the menorah. So because of that, at least according to this man, the Omar, so lo sagi de lo mashke vad luke, you'd have to actually take a match, light it. When I say a match, I mean a wooden stick, obviously. And you would go ahead and light it from one, and then move it and light the rest, the one next to it from that, right? So then it doesn't matter what you're saying the reason is. I don't give a hang whether the reason is the Mandi Omar who says Bizre Mitzvah, the Mandi Omar who says a Kushe Mitzvah. It's exactly the same problem. If there's a problem, so how do you explain the fact that we don't learn out from the Beis HaMikdash? Dear Gemara of Papa, it isn't really a problem in the Beis HaMikdash because you're assuming that you had to light a wood chip with it, but you don't. All you needed to do was take out a very long wick, and while the light was burning, you attach the wick directly from the next lamp, you attach to the Ner Ma'aravi, which means that you lit directly from the Ner Ma'aravi. So if you did it that way, so then there'd be no problem of utilizing another piece of wood. Okay, fine. All right. You answered according to one Mandi Omar. But what about according to the Mandi Omar? It's a Kushe Mitzvah. If you say that even if you're using directly one lamp to the other, it's still going to cause it to be a little bit dim, so then how did they do it in the Beis HaMikdash? This doesn't make sense according to that. You're right. Gosh, that is a problem. Well, anyway, bottom line, what exactly is the halacha over here? Because even though we said before, there's different ways of learning. This is one of Tosfos' possibilities, is that even though we said before that Mar, meaning Rabba, even though he went according to Shmuel in these three inyanim, which included Madlik Mener Lener, apparently we're not going according to the way Rabba sees it over here necessarily. And we want to know what is the din, since normally the din follows a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, it goes according to Rav. So what would be the din, Legabe Madlik Mener Lener? Since we showed that Rav Ada Bar Ava is not correct, so right now we have to assume that it's an issue of a Bizri Mitzvah, okay? The problem is, didn't we say that Rav holds that if you light directly from one to the other, that it's not a Bizri Mitzvah? And is that necessarily true? Because we know that there's another issue that you haven't taken into consideration, which now we are about to take into consideration, and it has massive implications both for the hadlaka in the Beis HaMikdash and for the hadlaka of Chanukah hadlaka l'maisa. And that is, Om Ravuna Barei de Rav Yoshua, the first thing you need to know in dealing with this issue is, what is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah the lighting, or is the mitzvah the actual having the light? Which is a tremendous difference. So we have to first decide whether hadlaka osa mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah to do the act of lighting? If that's the pshat, so then madlikin miner lener, because that seems to be the situation in the Beis HaMikdash. And if you're lighting from one to the other, that means that the act of hadlaka per se, which is the act of the mitzvah, is basically perfectly okay to do from another light that is burning, because the act of the mitzvah is the hadlaka, and that's the main thing that I'm doing. So then madlikim miner lener when it comes to Chanukah, just like you do in the Beis HaMikdash. The problem is that when it comes to Ner Chanukah, it's possible that it's the burning of the Ner Chanukah, which means even if I would have a Chanukah menorah that was all lit in a different place where it wasn't doing a mitzvah, when I bring it and I set it down in the place where I'm supposed to have my menorah, that's the mitzvah, and I don't need to do the act of the hadlaka. What if a cheresh sheit of a cotton did the act of hadlaka, and then I take it and I put it down in the right place? That would also be hadlaka's Chanukah. So if that's the case, so then that means it's the burning per se that is the mitzvah. Masha Einkein, the lighting is not the mitzvah. So then if I'm lighting from one to the other, so then I'm being mezalzel in the mitzvah. So then there's a bizri mitzvah, even in the act of hadlaka. First, you have to decide what the mitzvah is before you can decide whether you're looking at Madlikim Miner Laner as a problem or not, because it's utterly dependent on that fundamental yesod. And this indeed was a big question. This was an old question, and I see you guys haven't even thought about it, and you're jumping to conclusions about the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. How about if we discuss the main issue first, and then we can decide? So when we asked that question originally, so they used different ways of answering. The Toshma, the Omar Rava, Hayatafus Ner Chanukah Vome. The guy is holding his menorah up, and he sits there and holds it the whole time. Lo asav lo klum. You did not do anything. Why? Because you didn't put it down where it was supposed to be, I'm assuming, right? So, I mean, that means even though you lit a Chanukah menorah, since you never put the Chanukah menorah, not putting it means you never did a mitzvah. So doesn't that prove that Hanacha osa mitzvah? No, of course not. And if you lit it while you're holding it, and you're holding it in the Tefach Samach L'Beisay and so on, why not? Why wouldn't that be good? No, it's a completely different issue over there. There it's an issue that when a guy is holding a light, it looks like he's using a flashlight. And it's not at all as if he had been mefarsim es anes by lighting his Chanukah menorah, because he had it the whole time as a lamp rather than as a menorah. And that's the problem. So Hatamar Roe Omer, Lutzarcho Denakidla. He's only doing this for his own purposes. Okay, let's try this one. Tashma, Yoma Rava, a guy lit his Chanukah menorah in his house. And then he brings it outside and he puts it down at that point in the right person, in the right place, right by his door. Lo asa klum, he didn't do anything. So now, look, that seems to be clear, because if you're going to tell me that it's the hadlaka that does the mitzvah, so then, since he lit the Chanukah menorah in a way that is not Mekayim, the mitzvah of Chanukah, because it isn't in the correct place, so then it was obviously not Yotze, because the mitzvah is to light it where it's supposed to be. So, Hadlaka b'mekomo b'inan, mishumachi lo asav lo klum. But if you're going to tell me, I don't care where it was lit, and I don't care who lit it, I only care that it should be put where it is mefarsim the nes kehalacha. If you're going to tell me, hanacha is a mitzvah, Amai lo asav lo klum. Why didn't he do anything? It's perfectly okay. So you see from here that it's hadlaka that does the mitzvah lechora. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily, because there might be another reason. The reason is that since he's carrying out something that he is already had in his house that was lit, so the ro'eh would say that this guy is not bringing out as a Chanukah menorah. This thing is being brought out because he was using it to check his furnace, and now he's decided to use it as a Chanukah menorah. So even if you hold that you don't need the hadlaka to do the mitzvah, but the lamp has to be initially miyuchad for the mitzvah, so you can't take something that is made for another purpose. It's there as a flashlight so you could check your furnace. And now, oh, look at this. Let me put it outside as a Chanukah menorah. That is not going to be mefarsim the nes. Toshma. Okay, then maybe we can bring from here. The armor of Yeshua ben Levi. Ashashit shaita doleket v'olechet kol hayom kulo. If you had a lantern that was burning the entire day of Shabbat. Right, so now you wanted to do that. You put in tons of oil in it, and it was Leil Shabbos, which was a Chanukah, and this way you would have light the whole Shabbos long. L'motzei Shabbat, as I mentioned to you earlier, even though if you're not allowed to be mishtamish la'ora, that's only during such time as it's burning as a Chanukah menorah. Once that time is over, ad shekola regel min hashuk. At that point, it's no longer burning as a Chanukah menorah. You're allowed to be nina from it. So on the night after, now it's Betzai Shabbos, you should put it out and relight it. Now, if you're going to tell me hadlaka osa mitzvah, I understand that that's perfectly good. You don't have to lift it up or put it down again because the ikar mitzvah is the hadlaka. But if you're going to tell me the hadlaka doesn't do anything, it's putting something down as a Hanukkah menorah, and then a hanukkah is a mitzvah. So why does it say all you need to do is to light it again? It should say you have to put it out, and you have to then lift it up, put it down again, and then be madlik. So apparently, it's mashma, therefore, that the hanukkah is not involved in the mitzvah. It's only the hadlaka that makes the mitzvah. And tomorrow we're going to see more beautiful rayas to this issue. Okay, so we'll continue the sugya Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. And tomorrow is at 7:50, which is 6:50 in Joburg, right? Okie dokie. Wonderful. Okay, I hope everyone is feeling well. I hope everyone had a wonderful Shabbos Kodesh. And I hope everyone has a wonderful week of Yeshua's. Inei El Yeshua Si Eftach V'lo Yefchad. May this be the week of Eliyahu Hanavi. V'inoyam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'ase Yadeinu Koneinu Aleinu Ma'ase Yadeinu Koneinu. Which, of course, the Deimos of the Mitzvos was part of our discussion on Friday about the nature of the Tamimos, of the Karbonos, and of all of the things that we do of Avedas Hashem. May we indeed be Zeicha. And to see Lo Asim Alecha Vasimem Al Oivecha. Amen.